Who's that lady?
Anna!
Stop, listen, it's a Real McCoy Show. Stop, listen, it's a Real McCoy Show. Who's that lady?
Anna!
The Real McCoy! Stop, listen, it's a Real McCoy Show. Stop, listen, it's a Real McCoy Show. Who's that lady?
Anna!
The Real McCoy! Hurry, come and listen, it's a Real McCoy Show. Hurry, come and listen, it's a Real McCoy Show. Hurry, come and listen, it's a Real McCoy Show.
Persuasive, she's passionate, and she's got one purpose, to help you live an incredible life. Anna McCoy is a life coach, financial educator, author, entrepreneur, and inspirational speaker. She'll give you the real answers to tough questions.
Ooh,
and now, your host, Anna.
The Real McCoy!
Welcome to The Real McCoy Show. I'm excited that you're joining us on today. I'm Shauna Stallworth, standing in for our host, Master Coach Anna McCoy. You know what? We just decided that we were going to share with you great steps. That's right, family. After all, after the technical difficulties we've had for the past couple of weeks, we finally got our challenges fixed, and we really wanted to share this program with you because we believe it'll be awesome for you as you're moving forward with your dreams, visions, and ideas. This month at Woman Act Now, our theme for the month is Visionary Power, and you'll learn a lot about that as you listen to this particular pre-recorded show from our conference in St. Louis with one of our own WAM members, Ms. Viola Davis. It's an awesome teaching. We want to share it with you, so listen up, lock it in, tweet it, Facebook it with a friend as we share with you Grace Steps. You are loved, you are appreciated, you are highly favored, you are God's greatest miracle, and I'm telling you, I would rather be in no other place on earth than right here with you. Amen. All right, y'all go and have a little seat so we can get something started in here, or rather, what I would like to say, finished in here, because it had already started. You know, normally I like to get here a little bit earlier so I can get a chance to love on you. And so I just decided, ooh, that's a good song. Let me go get my love right now. You know, and here's the deal, is that when I say I'd rather be no other place on earth than right here with you, I know what I'm called to do. I know my purpose. I know who I am in God. And you know what? He set me aside for you today. So wherever I go, I'm one of those, whatever you call us, preachers, coaches, ministers, evangelists, celebrities that you can touch. So I want you to know that. And so I want to touch you. I have so much love for the women of the world, and I don't want to miss the opportunity to be too busy not to touch you while we're here. We have some other women that are with us today, our Woman Act Now members. For those who have come to support our sister Viola Davis, I want you to stand. I want you to see these women. These women are just incredible women, as each of you are. But what you will experience with these women, I hope, as a leader of this organization, that you experience the love that you experience from me as you communicate and engage with these women. So we are here to touch you. We know that God has given us something very, very special. And I think throughout this day, you're going to have that experience. And I believe the Lord is going to speak to you through these speakers, whether it's for our health, whether it's for your dream, whatever the case may be, because I've got something that I want to share with you that I believe is going to bless your life. You know, I'm a woman who I am fully confident, fully persuaded I walk with God. Hey, I don't have any preconceived notions about anyone. It is not my place to judge people. It is my place to walk and to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And so what I want you to experience from me by the time I finish in this moment, but throughout this day in every interaction with me, is the presence of Jesus Christ in my heart. I want you to experience that. I want to model that for you so that you will have that experience. And what you see is what you get, and they call me the real McCoy. You know there's some fake ones out there. So how y'all like my outfit? I just thought, girl, we just gonna talk. So I want to get all that stuff out of the way that could distract my spiritual wellness. Let me give y'all modeling. Because us girls, we just going to talk, okay? Because, you know, before we were on our way here, there was a gentleman I had an opportunity to have breakfast with, he and another gentleman. And I told him, I said, we don't dress for men. Women don't dress for men. We dress for women. Girl, you know they're going to like this when I put that on us. You ain't trying to impress no brother. You going to get what you going to get, okay? But, you know, I thought I'd just put this on in honor of our African sisters. We were just in Lagos, Nigeria, and when you go over there, they make you all these attire. But you feel so feminine and so queenly when you wear this stuff. I look like it, don't I? I know, because it makes you feel that way, because they make it just for you. Don't think you can get in my dress, because this dress was made just for me. Okay, this ain't no size 12. It ain't no size 14. It is made for what? Me. So when you go to Africa, you're going to get your own dress. So how many of you ladies want to go to Africa? Oh, my goodness. Wow. Well, when we get ready to go the next time, we're going to make sure that we let you know, because we've got some incredible women there that are going to embrace you and love you and really release you into the purpose that God has called you to in their space. And it was phenomenal for us. So I wanted to kind of get that out of the way so I can go on and do what the Lord wants me to do. I still have a little bit of me left. But now I'm getting ready to move into the space. All right, y'all ready? Because I'm getting ready to go ahead and just release myself to be used by the Lord. But I want you to know God has a personality, and you're just about to see it today. All right? Because I am made and created in his image. The one thing I don't apologize for is being a woman of excellence. I don't apologize for having an exceptional life, because I serve an exceptional God. Okay? So you won't get that from me. But I don't walk in a way that is not honorable to God and honorable to people. So let's just pray, and I want to invite the Lord in to this space, into my heart, so that I can hear his voice for you, because what I believe he's going to share with you today is just going to be special for you. And many of you are doing it, and I think that when you hear the testimony of how the Lord has taught me to walk with him, it's going to bless your life. So, Father, we just thank you and we praise you, Lord. We invite you into the Women's Empowerment Conference, Lord God. I am so grateful to be here. I'm so honored to be used by you. Father, I thank you, Lord, for just this opportunity of grace upon my life, Lord, to speak to each and every one of my sisters here. I want to speak to her heart, Lord God, not to her head, but to her heart, that she may hear your voice. Father God, give her a word that she can move on, a word that she can execute, a word that she will remember in her time of trouble, to move her forward. And so, Father, I just thank you, Lord, to be used as a vessel for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, ladies, I want to give you all my scripture. So y'all know I'm a holy one. I couldn't do this in here without a scripture. But this scripture is going to change your life. The Bible is real. It's relevant. That's what I mean by real. It's relevant today. And so when I think about what I want to share with you today, it's a couple of things. I want to talk about power. I want to talk about love. I want to talk about faith. And I want to talk about grace. So you got it? Power, love, faith, and grace. Power, love, faith, and grace. Those are the things that we're going to talk about. Again, it's what? Power, love, faith, and grace. Fiola, what's my time frame? I got two. What you say? We're going to talk about. I'm glad I asked the question. Hi, Diggity. Let me take my shoes out. All right, now. Okay, we're going to talk about power, love, faith, and grace. All right, so the first thing we're going to do, ooh, did y'all see how I just, I was like, all right, man, come on now. I got two. I thought I was getting up here for about 4 hours, going to be cool in my shoes, you know. Oh, but we're getting on with it now. Now that I know what I'm dealing with, I need some space behind it. All right, ladies, Ephesians, go to Ephesians chapter 3. We're going to start at the 14th verse. We're going to only use Ephesians. We're going to go through this to the end of the chapter. Excellent. Is it a work for us? Testing. All right, testing, testing. All right, you ready, ladies? We're going to have a little bit of time. I'm ready for you now. Ephesians 3, the 14th chapter. Now, what I need, ladies, this is, I came here to be with you, so I need you to be with me. Okay? So that means I need your conscious focus. Focus. Okay? If you're sitting in the back, you can't see, you need to come up closer. It's time to move now. Okay, if you want to reposition yourself, you need to go to the restroom, then you can do that. We're going to be here for 2 hours. That's okay. Okay? But what I want is focused attention. There are three types of attending. I just changed my sermon. Y'all was just about to get a sermon, but you're going to get taught right now. Okay? Because I got 2 hours to be with you, Lord. And I am excited about it. Woo! I mean, my DNA is starting to move now. Okay, so what I'd like you to do, I want to talk about three types of attending. The first one is to pretend to attend. The second one is selective attending. The third is focused attending. We are here together. Okay, this is the moment. You can't be any other place but right here. Okay, you've chosen to be in this place, in this location, in this physical location. So first question I want to ask, I am Coach Anna. Do you give me permission to coach you today? Let me see your hand. I'm watching everybody. Looking for a hand. Look at your neighbor. Am I missing a hand? Woman, act now. Am I missing a hand? Because I want to make sure I got permission. When I get in your face, it's just you giving me permission. You know, you lucky I can't climb over this thing. Because I tell you, is that Dorothy? You know, she wouldn't help me either. But I wore this long skirt. You got to, they make you act like a lady, too. Young people, y'all need to get a long skirt that blocks your knees. That's what they do down there. They lock your knees. You think you can do something. You think you can move, and then you go to move that knee. Oh, whoa. It brings you back to yourself. First thing, pretend to attend. Pretending to attend, if you want to get in the place where God really wants to use you, where he can use you, where you can be effective for the kingdom of God, you've got to move out of the atmosphere of pretending. Pretending to attend to things, pretending to do it, pretending to listen to your children, pretending to listen to your husband, pretending to listen to your employer. And the way we do it is, you know, to a person be talking to you and, you know, you'd be like, uh-huh, or otherwise you might be doing something along this line, uh-huh, uh-huh, yeah, uh-huh, but you haven't heard a thing. I want to know, how do you deal with God? So in order to get into the place where God really wants you to do, where you can begin to hear his voice, you've got to get beyond the place of what? All right, how many of you wish your children would stop pretending to hear you? Stop pretending to hear a teacher. That's what I'm talking about, ladies. So you can't pretend if you're going to live at your optimum level in the things of God. Do you really believe you serve an excellent God? What does that mean to you? See, the word excellence is a constant, it's a constant excelling. I mean, you're constantly going up. You can never flatline when you're in pursuit of excellence. See, when God says, my ways are higher than yours, my thoughts are higher than yours, why? Because you serve an excellent God. Because the more you pursue him, the higher he takes you, because you can never get to that plateau. So if you're going to choose to be a woman of excellence and pursue excellence in your life, you got to move from that place of pretending. The next place is selective attending. You're getting better at it, yes. You know, we say, well, I'm a new believer. What does that mean? I don't know what that means. It's like when he gets you, he's got you. So you got to move to the next place of selective attending. When you stop selectively choosing what you want to hear, and you just totally, you got free fall for it. Then you, can I answer that for you? Everybody, I forgot to tell you, you got a phone? Unless you taking a picture or recording it, why don't you go ahead and turn it off? Let me give you a minute to do that so it won't be a distraction. Y'all gave me permission. Don't be trying to get mad at me now. There ain't going to be none of that. Okay, so just open up your heart. This is just like, you know what? This is boot camp right now. When you graduate in 2 hours, we're going to let everybody else do what they do with you. Okay, but right now it's time to get in there. Got it? Because this is my opportunity. See, I'm so passionate about who God has called me to be that I can't let you go. I can't back off. I can't be nice. I didn't come here to be nice or liked. I came to pursue and do what God has called me to do. You like me, don't you? I know you do. It's hard not to like me. Oh, a woman coming here loving on you and stuff. How you gonna not like her? I know you was in the middle, but then you know if I could have got to you, I would have. So are we clear? I just want to make sure, I want to get through it real quick. I want to cut the ice because I want you to get out of the place of pretending. Most of us can't come and show our real selves to people because we got to go through what? Let me pretend to be here. Let me act like I want to be a part of this. Let me, you be here. See, and this is what's so awesome about living for God and truly living for him. You show up. And when you show up, you know what you are to do. You know that your presence in that place is for the effectiveness of God, not for you. You didn't just come to church today. And you're here for a conference, but when you leave this place, your next step, you are not just at that convenience store. Can you walk with God? You can't pretend. You can't selectively decide what you're going to hear from God. You know how your kids, the way it shows up, they're in front of the television? Are you in front of the TV? Your husband calls. You hear him? My husband calls me friend. Friend? 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 Huh? I heard him the first 2 times. But I want to hold out a little while longer. See if it'll go away. I want to see if he's going to get up and get his own water. I want to see if he's going to meet his own needs. You know, I'm holding out. I'm going to see who's going to win this thing. When I first got married, we call it the marriage crisis. We do marriage coaching, really, not counseling, but marriage coaching, and it's called the marriage crisis, the marriage crisis. How many of y'all married? I'm going to tell you a secret. All right. For those who aren't married, you need the secret. Have you ever noticed, and many of us, when you first get married, you ever notice how your husband... And you might have a different husband, but the one I have, probably representing a few others. But when we first got married, he didn't hesitate to ask me for something. If I was sitting down or I prepared a meal and I go and sit down, as soon as it's almost like, you know what, this is what it looked like. As soon as you be in this position, as soon as you just about to hit, honey, could you? No, he didn't. Honey, and I said, well, why is it that he doesn't bring me a glass of water? And the Lord said, honey, you never ask him. I said, what? All the race was on then. You don't know what you're dealing with, honey. And be real strategic. You catch him and you go sit right next to him, just rub on him, rub his leg, just sit there just a few minutes and say, honey, can you give me a glass of water? Oh, my God. Can you give me a cup of coffee? Oh, I was just thinking, baby, maybe you can give me a cup of coffee. He'd be like, what? What is this? My husband was like, what? Where'd this come from? Can't you see I'm watching? I said, oh, honey, but please. Do you know my husband brings me a cup of coffee every morning now? And he tries his best right before he knows he's going to do it. But right before he gets up, he looks at me, honey, could you get us a cup of coffee? No, that's not my job. You get us a cup of coffee. So when you're thinking about selective attending, you have to determine what are you going to hear? What are you going to hear? What are you going to respond to? But in order to serve God in your most effective way, you must be a woman of focused attending. And to be focused attended means that you are so focused that you are so attentive, because, see, most people don't understand the power of attention. Lord, God is a God that loves you so much. And my God, heaven and earth moves when you give him focused attention. Because you don't let all of these things around you start to distract you. But my, he will move it for you if you give him what? Focused attention. Now, let me share with you how you can tell that you're in a place of focused attention. To be a woman of discipline, you have to be willing to delay your gratification. Delay personal gratification so that the greater things may live. So you let the lesser things die so that the greater things may live in the moment in your life. So what is self-discipline is what? To delay your gratification. That means if you're in a place and you need to really focus, you're going to have to give up something to let one thing die so that the greater thing may live in that moment. That you have all agreed to allow me to coach you today, right? Okay, so we're going to call that the greater thing today. You got it? It's the greater thing in your life. Are you willing to let it live? If you are willing to allow it to live, you're going to allow some other things to die. And you have to understand, your flesh always wants to win. And just if you're videotape, I'm a video queen too, a video producer and everything else. You see me? So don't worry about none of that, because if I see, I'm going to just go ahead and say. Okay, so you're going to let what? The lesser thing die. And the flesh always wants to win. So let me show you what discipline looks like. Can I get a chair? There's a folding chair right over there. And Shauna, I'm going to have you come up and demonstrate what discipline looks like and what it doesn't. Remember, I tell you that what's the greater thing today? What's the greater thing? What's the greater thing? For you to be fully present. Right here, not just with me, but with everyone that comes. What's the greater thing? To be fully present. Fully present is focus. That you're going to engage here. Ladies, whatever's going on in your life, it will be there when we finish today. Amen. See, most of us spend our time living in the past instead of in the present. So if you're thinking about what you don't have, you need to pay your car note, your house note, you don't have this, that's the stuff of the past. Your now is happening right now. And God wants you to be fully present, fully focused, so that you can hear him speak to you, tell you where to go, what to do. So this is what I want you to be unconscious for me. Can you just be unconscious? That's what unconscious look like. Go ahead and doze off for me too. Because, see, when we get tired, ladies, we go to sleep. It's not that you're so tired here. Maybe you didn't rest well last night. Maybe things, you know, you got insomnia or whatever. But that's unconsciousness. When you're not achieving your dreams and visions in life, when things don't work out your way, how many of you want to go to bed? Boy, don't mess with me because I'm just going to bed. You go to sleep. That's called unconscious. You don't want to think about it. You don't want to deal with it. So the best way to deal with you is just say you're tired. Oh, girl, I'm tired. I can't do this. I just need to go to sleep. Go to sleep. Didn't you just wake up? Baby, it's 10 o'clock in the morning, and you need to go take a nap? What time is it? It's barely 11, if my watch is right. Do you understand? You cannot go unconscious today. Don't go unconscious on your life. Don't go unconscious on your children. Now, the place of discipline is to let the lesser die. The lesser is the flesh. The lesser is that flesh that want to relax on you. The greater is to be disciplined. To be disciplined. Discipline requires self-sacrifice. And so this is a disciplined position. This is an attentive position. I know you want to be comfortable, but you didn't come here to be comfortable today, did you? You came here to change, to hear something that would stir you up. So be conscious. So this is a place of discipline right here. I want to see everybody get in a position of discipline. You see the difference? Look around you. Look at the, thank you. Look at the difference of the energy. Just the energy in the room changes. Why? Because women are disciplined. Women are conscious. I mean, if you were in the military, and we have one of our speakers who may use some of those examples for you. She was there for many, many years. You can't be unconscious on the line. You have a position to play, and you need to be in position with God. Roz, I'm going to ask you to switch to that side because I have a camera coming down this side. Is that going to be helpful for you, Arvie? I tell you, ladies, I be looking at everything. It's called consciousness. It's like the way you can manage, and for instance, I want everybody to just take a look around this room. Just look around the room. You took it all in, right? Are you conscious?
Yes.
You sure?
Yes.
You sure?
Yes.
Close your eyes again. All right, how many arrangements are there on the stage? Don't look. How many? Open your eyes. How did you do? Oh, okay, let's try it again. Take a look around the room. Y'all like, let me look. Okay, you ready? Close your eyes. How many clocks in the building? How many clocks in the building? One? Open your eyes. Okay, how many of y'all didn't know it was a clock in the building? You see? When we think about consciousness and focus attention, we're missing things that God wants us to do because we're not paying attention. We're not observing. We're not looking. We're not watching. The Word of God says in Deuteronomy 28:1 that if you will observe to do all that I have commanded you to do this day, then these blessings shall overtake you. Now, what I just said is if you will hear it, see it, do it now. I said, God says, what? If you will observe If you were hearken diligently, is what Deuteronomy 28:1 says. If you will hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord thy God, what is that? Hear and observe, see it, and observe to do it, all that he has commanded you to do, then these blessings shall overtake you. So what did I just say? Hear it, see it, when? Now. What? Does it make sense, lady?
Yes.
So in order to do what he wants you to do, you have to be a woman of conscious awareness. How many of y'all tired right now? See what I'm saying? That is the enemy's greatest tool against a woman and a man, but I'm talking to the women today. That is his greatest tool is to tell you you're tired. Because if he tells you you're tired and you're convinced, what do? You go unconscious. I want you to look at our language. You go unconscious. Now, what's amazing about unconsciousness is you totally give up your right to protect. You're totally giving up your right of awareness, of space, of what can come, what can enter in. And that's why even on the line it's so important. You've got to be conscious. You've got to be in position. You've got to be aware. You've got to be what? Ready. We hear the scripture in season and out of season, and we quote those scriptures, but can we live them? This is living the scripture to be ready in season and out of season. If the only person that can actually walk in that scripture is a person that is what? Conscious. Because you don't have time to recover when the enemy comes against you, when he's taking your child who is making a wayward decision. You don't have time to be tired. So will you let the lesser die, this unconsciousness in your life, so that the greater may live in you? Who is the greater? Jesus. And guess what? Jesus is very conscious. How many of you have read about his unconsciousness in the Bible? You won't. Why? Because he serves the greater one. Greater is he that is in me than the evil that is in the world. And ladies, until you begin to recognize the greatness that is in you, the greatness is the Spirit of God that is just waiting. You know, wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, you know, he's just in the ready position, always. The Bible talks about in Genesis 1 how the Spirit of God, the Spirit just hovered over the water. He's just waiting for a command. He's waiting for a word spoken. But if you're unconscious, he's just sitting there. I don't know when they're going to do something. But boy, if a word could just be spoken, if they could hear him, if they could just hear him, something can change in your life. So you need to be in the what? Ready position. The one thing that I've learned is that the Spirit of God operates on the inside of you. The only way he can operate outside of you is that your flesh must be broken. Okay, and the difference of breaking of your flesh is when God, the Spirit of God, looks like this inside of you, but you are unconscious. The Spirit of God, it looks like what? This inside of you, conscious, waiting in position, ready to move. But you know what? And I'm telling you, not only are you unconscious, but you will be totally ineffective in your ability to birth the dream that God wants in your life. See, ladies, we're living and we're raising children, we're getting married, we're doing all those things, but we're ineffective in the things of God, ineffective in building the kingdom of God. I want to know, when was the last time you saw a miracle? An eye, a blind eye open. When's the last time you saw somebody raised from the dead? Why? The whole earth is groaning and moaning for the people of God just to... Because the Spirit of God is like this in you, but you're just tired. You're unconscious. You want to hear what you want to hear. You want to pretend because this is a place of comfort for you. Let me go to church every Sunday because I'm comfortable. I got my friends over there, but you're ineffective. You walk out of here and you walk right past a person. They're broken. but you can't recognize it because what? This is what you look like on the outside, not the inside, because you're coming here to get the spirit man to agree with the word of God, and you're getting him ready. You're equipping him, but yet you're what? You're unconscious. So you're ineffective. And I'm not saying each of you are. It might be women in other countries, other states, but I'm right here today. So you have to be awake. So wake up so that the Spirit of the Lord can begin to move on the outside. And the only way it does is that your flesh must agree with the Spirit of God on the inside of you. Because the breaking releases when the two come into relationship with each other. You've been trying to be spiritual, but yet you're not getting your physical body to agree with the Spirit of God inside of you. I have learned this, is that your destiny is attached to another person. You say God is going to do it for you, but you can't even recognize when he does it. Because you're not looking to find those other individuals that God is connecting you with so that you can carry it out. And that's what we miss, because the flesh must agree with the spirit. When I say that, when I ask you, when's the last time you saw that miracle? You are the miracle. You are the woman that should be out there speaking to the blind eye, speaking to the sickness and the disease in people's lives. This is not an altar call. It's not. You don't have enough space in this altar to handle the issues of life that are there. But if you were conscious, everywhere you go, you can make an impact and make a difference when you're conscious to hear the voice of the Lord. So now are you ready to hear? To hear God. So I got you in the place where I want you. Are you focused now?
Yes.
Do you want to really be focused and be attentive so that God can use you in your own personal life? We're not all called to the pulpit. Okay? We're not all called to this position here. But I'm telling you, woman, you are called of God. The mere fact that you are in this place. When we were in Lagos, we had the conference there. There was one woman in that audience. She stood up at the end, and we'll probably do this at some point, but at the end of that moment, I asked, what are you walking away with? There was a woman that stood up. She says, she looked around the room. There are about 250 women there. She looked around the room, and she says, I don't know if there is any other Muslim here. And everybody was like, whoa. Because, you know, in that part of the country, Muslims and Christians are, you know, there's a constant war, there's nothing. And even the women I had spoken to there were talking about this needs to be Christian, because they were actually trying to protect what was theirs rather than walking in the love that God has called us to do. So after I ministered, the woman, she says, I'm Muslim, and I'm telling you, I heard the Spirit of God said to me, no matter where you go today, this is the place you need to go. And I kept asking him, why do you want me there? This is this kind of Christian thing. I don't know what they're going to be talking about, but I'm going to go and I'm going to obey you. And when I walked to her in her presence, she just began to break down and cry. And I held her and I said, you know what? Love knows no boundaries. I don't care who you call your God. I don't care who my God is, but my God isn't true if I cannot show you love. And I embraced her and I said, I love you. No matter where you are, whatever you need, you are a woman. We have that in common. My job is not to convince you to serve God. My job in your life is to demonstrate the God that I serve. And I hope that I've done that. And she said, yes, you have. So, ladies, it's not just here. It's wherever you are, can you be effective for the kingdom? And see, and that's when we talk about a destination and a journey. This is where I want to go when we talk about power. Power is your ability to walk with God, to demonstrate the power of God, the presence of God on your life in that moment. What you're going to be able to see is that as you walk with God, thank you, as you walk with God, and you can move that, yes, you begin to see that your purpose is not as important as your journey. You got that? Most of us are trying to pursue a purpose, but what is the purpose? We're trying to pursue a destiny, but what is a destiny? And I'm here to tell you today that your greatest concern in your life should be your journey. It should be how you walk the journey. Many of you have heard of Pastor Zachary Timms, who passed away in Orlando, Florida, a young man, 42. We knew him personally, my husband and I. He went to his tribute service on yesterday. Our lives are not promised. So it's not about the destination that you think you are to get to in your life. What would be a greater pursuit for you is understanding the journey. Now, if you can understand the journey and who are you walking with in the journey, now things are going to change entirely. When you understand that you are a woman who walks with God, you don't have to worry about your destination. You don't have to worry about your purpose. But if you're walking with God literally in your daily life, you're going to end up in the right places. You're going to end up in the right relationships. You're going to end up with the right people. So it's about the journey. So I want to talk about the journey to reframe your perspective. Because when I say I'm a woman that is confident, fully persuaded that she walks with God, and the reason why I say that is because the grace of God that's on my life, that grace could not present itself if God were not present with me. Do you understand? You're calling grace something. I don't know what it is. But to really see the grace of God, you're going to see it in the favor of people, literally. And when God shows up on the scene, if he is walking with you, see, I don't hope for grace. I expect it to happen every single day of my life. Why? Because I'm confidently persuaded that I walk with God. So I'm looking for the best possible opportunity because love is to contend for the highest possible good to be manifested in the present moment. So if you say you love me, you need to be pursuing the highest possible outcome for me in the present moment until it becomes a reality. When Jesus walked on the scene, he's walking on the scene, he's saying the woman's pressing her way through. She's trying to touch just if I can but touch the hem of his garment. Ooh, something's going to happen. Why? Jesus' response is purely love. If you try to walk around and lay hands on people and you don't have love, you're practicing something else. Okay? And that something else is called witchcraft, because the only thing that can heal is love. When you come from the place, when you talk about healing, whether it's in your body, whether it's the food you eat, you get healthy. What is that? You got to go back to the healer, the one who can make something that is broken to something that is fixed, something that is sick to something that is whole, not healed, but whole. So when you think about this process, it is this journey that you're walking on, that if you can walk with God, you don't guess for it. You hope for it. You expect it to occur. And people who walk with me, if they're walking with me, they're in my space, they can see the grace of God moving. People extend favor. You invite the presence of the Lord. There were a group of us ladies, we went to Heavenly Fish. Anybody know about that place? Well, for those who don't, I want to encourage you to go there because it's going to be a place of healing for you. If something's going on in your life, we have prayed for that place. Is this the owner? What you say? Just listen, baby. Because we were talking about you and praying for you last night after we left. Because just listen, I'm so glad she pointed you out. Now the Lord is going to really give it to me. But for those of you who haven't been, these women, we prayed in that place last night. I could see the evidence of this family who want to honor God. When I walk in, I see the signs. I see they want you to know that this is a place that God is welcome, that we're going to honor him. We're going to take it a little bit further for you. So as we were in there, I said, before we leave, we need to pray. And we want to pray that when a person walks over the threshold, you believe you're going to eat fish, but God is going to start to draw you to that place. It'll be in the middle of the day, in the evening, that he will draw you to that place to eat fish. And it's not the fish that you will be eating. But when you go into that place, we have prayed that the Spirit of God would begin to just pour and soak your spirit, even if you didn't have a conversation with someone else, but that the Lord would use that place. Because I did not meet his wife. I met your husband. And I recognized a man who had such a spirit of love in him that the spirit of love, and I assume that the other half is probably one that told him how to love, teach him how to love people. So I assumed that he was probably well-trained, but that this was the spirit of this family. And so, ladies, just like we stop, you cannot be in a hurry. We stop and we say, what does God see for this place? When I got in the car, I was telling the women, now I'll speak to you, because I was telling the women, I said, this place is too small for what God wants to do in your life. I said, your faith needs to expand, and we began to pray. I want to pray that their faith expands, that it enlarges, because for what God wants to do with you and your husband, with that place, you need a whole lot more room. So I'm going to encourage you to begin to seek him, to begin to pray. You and your husband come together. You begin to pray and ask God how to do it. He's going to take you to a whole nother level as it relates to your business. Now, I'm in your life now. So make sure you give her my phone number. So when God begins to show you those dreams and visions, you may not know how to execute them. You may not know how to take the next step. You may not be in the right relationship. It's time to make that call. All right, so for those ladies who hadn't been to Heavenly Fish, you have a refuge. And that's what we call power. And that's what you have to bring. If you own a business, is it a place of power? Is it a place of refuge? Is it a place of restoration? People come to my home, and if we say absolutely nothing to them, just when they walk into the door, I've seen people walk and just start crying. Why are you crying? The peace of God is here. I just feel something in my spirit. I feel something. Why? Because it's a place of what? Refuge. Is your home a place of peace, a place of sanctity, a place of love for your family that they may be restored? If it isn't, you've got work to do. So you say you love God, right? Where is he? Where can we find him in your life? Where is his presence being demonstrated in your life? When I get into your car, is it a place of refuge? Can I get in your car? Do you understand? Like, it's just not about being a great biblical teacher, a person who knows it. It is about, can you convert? The most powerful word in the universe is convert. No matter what you do, no matter where you start, you can get a great idea, you can have a great word, but if you have no ability to convert it into something of value, it means nothing. The Spirit of God could have hovered all over the waters for days, for years, for millenniums, for all we know, until a word was spoken that could be converted into something. When God said, let there be light, it said there was what? It was the there was that needs to get your attention. Not when God spoke. Most of us are saying, and God said, let there be light. The there was will change your life. The there was light. There was land, there was, because that is conversion. So when you say, I have a dream, I want to know what's the, and there was. When a woman says, and I have a vision for a conference, and I want to listen for, and there we were together. Why? Because she has been able to take an idea, something that God put into her heart, convert it into what? Something of value. So what about your there was in your life? How's it going? How are you working it out? And how's it working for you? What about that there was? And do you know what? When you go to your funeral And we're going to say things like, and there were five children. And there were. Why? Because those were the things that you converted into something of value. There were many souls that were brought to the kingdom. And there were, because that is the process of conversion. So what are you converting in your life? Go to Ephesians 3:16. Power, love, faith, and grace. You're going to hear it throughout everything I say. Ephesians, the third chapter, we're going to start at the 16th verse. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with what? Power. And I'm reading from the NIV version. Through his spirit in your inner being. Now remember, when Shana was here, I said the Spirit of God is just there. He's waiting. He's strong. Because ultimately he wants to strengthen you, woman, with power in your inner man. Now, we throw around the word power because I don't know, well, what is that? You know, power to the people, power line, power center, power. But what is that? You're going to understand it in just a minute. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your where? Inner being. Because what's on the inside of you is what? I want to know, what do you think on the inside of you is, Rhonda? In the spirit of God is what? Why are you scared now, Rhonda? She's like, okay. Remember I said greater. The word tells you is what? Greater is he that is in you. So what is on the inside of you? The greatness of God. Greater is what? He that's in me. If I could show you this, I want you to see the picture. When we talk about demonic forces, and we often hear people talk about, you know, the enemy, the devil, and all of these things. Try to get this illustration in your mind, okay? We live in a three-dimensional world. You have length, breadth, and width, okay? And height. Length, breadth, and height. Three dimensions. You have a first dimension. You have a second dimension, then you have a third dimension. When you think about yourself, okay, you are in the third dimension. That's your fullness. That's a three-dimensional being. That's flesh, body, mind, all coming together. So you're in the third dimension. God lives in the fourth dimension and beyond, in eternity. You got that? Okay, principalities live in the fourth dimension. And beyond, really not beyond, they have a place where they abide, okay? Now understand, you are the picture, here I am. I'm living in the third dimension, I'm living up on the earth, you got it? Okay, this is, if I can jump and land, we're in the third dimension, because all things physical exist in the third dimension, got it? All things what? Physical. You are a physical being with spirit, a spirit that can connect to who? The greater one, because greater is he, even though I'm on the what? Third dimension, I'm on the earth, because all things physical live where? In the third dimension. Now, principalities and powers and all of those things, where do they abide? In the fourth dimension, but God is an eternal God. He's in a greater place. Boy, if I had a whiteboard or something, you'd really see it. He is in a greater place than the principalities in the power. You got it? You're below the powers. You're below the principalities because you live where? In a physical dimension. Now, how can we overcome those principalities and powers in a spiritual dimension? You must remain connected to who? The greater one that lives in you. The minute you get out of position, the minute you get disconnected, then you have no choice but to lose. Because greater is he that lives in me, and this is God, my hand is God, this is the principalities and powers. I am what? Connected by my spirit to what? Greater is he that lives, greater is who? Greater is he that lives in me than the what? Evil that's in the world. You got it? Let's do it again. Greater is what? God, Jesus, Holy Spirit, who lives in what? Third dimension, lives in me. I'm greater to you than the what? Evil that's in the world. Now, you have to understand, when he does not live in me, greater is the evil than what is in me. So the only way that you can live above the principalities, above those powers, is that you must remain connected to what? God, who is in you. See, that's where your effectiveness is. You can live saved all your life, but and I hear it all the time. I was talking to Shama about it last. I hear it all the time where people are, they're talking and they're talking about all of their time is spent on this level of life. Do you understand? Remember, great is he, great is God that lives in what? Me, then the, what is this? The evil that lives in the world, not my neighbors, not my, the world system, the principalities, when he put the stars and the moons and the heavenlies. Greater is the evil that's here. And when I hear people consistently talking about the evil, they're in this world. You gotta fight and battle those principalities. Most people don't think they can win. But you can win. When you are connected to who? Greater is what? He that's in me than the what? Evil that's in the world. Then you can overcome the works, the wiles, the darts of the enemy, because you remember that you are connected to who? God. And that is the only way that you can elevate spiritually to overcome the evil one. Is you must know that God lives in you. With that in mind, Rhonda, I ask, who lives in you? Ooh, I want you to hear it, ladies. The greater. The what? Greater. But hear it again. The what? Greater one. Now, if you don't understand that, the who lives in you? The greater one. So now when you are faced with the challenges of what? The evil one, then you already know the who? Oh, what's that word? I don't think he just did it by accident. He called himself the what? Greater one. See, you're trying to call him God, Holy Spirit, but he's called himself the greater one for your benefit. The power of understanding a word can change your life. I mean, literally just change your life. It's past the time of just memorizing a scripture that has no meaning to you. All of us can start to quote Psalms 23, but do you know what it means? And until you can convert it into a meaning in your life, that's where the power is. The Bible is powerless. Do you understand that? Until it is converted. The Bible is the most sold book in the world, equally the most unread. I got a Bible. I ride around with a Bible. My grandma got a Bible. That's about 18 Bibles in one. But it has no... I remember going to my... I was like, y'all ever read it? Don't touch that. That's the holy thing. You know that big old Bible? I learned, you know, they're not in there. That's the one you learn how to walk with, ladies. You just put that on your head. Boy, as soon as they come back, that's when I was a young girl. I didn't know any better. But do you understand? It is absolutely powerless if you don't know what's in it. So when he says, the what? Who lives in you? I want you to feel it. I want you to experience it. I want you to shift your thinking about the greater one that lives in you. And what does it mean to you? Take a moment to say, if the greater one, if I really, really believe the greater one lives in me, then you're going to have it come back up inside of you when the challenges get rough, when the times are tough. You say, the greater one lives in me. And have that experience so that it becomes your cornerstone that says, oh, you don't understand, the greater one lives in me. And when you walk to a woman or a man who doesn't know Jesus, no worries, the greater one lives in me. I am confident, I'm persuaded, the greater one lives in me. Is that something I can pray with you about, talk to you about? Whether they're Muslim, whether they're Hindu, whether they're Buddhist, when I understand the power of a word spoken to me, that the what? Greater one. That's why Ephesians is now important. When you understand the greater one lives in you, go with me, ladies. In 16 it says, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power. The glorious riches. You see, we're talking about them, but what are they? They're not money. That he may strengthen you out of his glorious riches. I mean, it's like, ladies, if I were to say to you, and I came in here and I put a treasure chest right on here, right? And I say, you know what? Whatever you need, I want to.
Power up with Coach Anna McCoy. Today's message, detours.
Did you know that life's detours can sometimes save you time? It's true. They can introduce you to new opportunities while still getting you to your intended destination. Consider choosing to take the detour and change the way you see the route. Be open, be curious, and be expectant. So just be mindful of today's journey and try hard not to be frustrated or discouraged by any delays, but rather view them as unintentional treasures.
Power up with Coach Anna McCoy.
Brought to you by the world's largest DoubleTree Resort, Spa, and Hotel on International Drive in Orlando. Plan a conference or bring your family to relax and enjoy a place where you are celebrated and accommodated. African American owned, DoubleTree Resort and Spa, International Drive, Orlando, Florida. Visit DoubleTreeOrlandoiDrive.com. Call 407-352-1100.
Thank you for listening. That concludes our program for today of Grace Steps. We hope you enjoyed and that you'll share us with a friend on Facebook or Twitter. Remember to visit our website at www.womanactnow.com. Find out more about our coaching organization as well as connect with like-minded women who are moving forward within their dreams, visions, and ideas. Until next week at 1 p.m. Central Time, know that you are loved and appreciated, and we hope you have an awesome day.
Listen, it's the Real McCoy Show. Hurry, come and listen, it's the Real McCoy Show. Hurry, come and listen, it's the Real McCoy Show.
She's persuasive, she's passionate, and she's got one purpose.